Carol's calling. Praise God. Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you each Sunday at this time from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are in Dunedin, Florida, and it's beautiful here today, and we are glad you have joined us on this broadcast. It's always fun to get in the Word of God and study and talk about the things that God is doing in this day, and He's doing some mighty things. We are excited that you have joined us today on Living the Good Life. And we have something new that started around here at the radio station last week, and it's video streaming. So if you are listening to us on the web today, and a lot of you do, scattered across the nation and other countries, then you can actually see me by myself here in the radio station. And I have a very special guest, Carol, calling in from Covington, Georgia, in just a moment. Are you on the line, Carol?
Indeed, I am.
Yes. All right. Well, they can't see you because you're sitting in the living room, your living room, and they can't see you. So I'm sorry about that.
I'm sitting in my living room on my plaid sofa, just kicked back.
All right. That's the place to be. And we're in the radio station here. Some people last week called and said, what is that table? And it is very interesting design on this table. Really pretty. It's just different. And it's not a puzzle or anything else. It's just an odd design on this table here in the booth where we do the show. And it's kind of cool that you all at home can kind of get an idea that we can have up to four people. Next week, we actually will be having quite a few in here in the room with us. And so they can be seen in different parts of the world. Kind of a new thing and an exciting thing, isn't it, Carol?
I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to take the ministry of God and the Word of God through Jesus into the world where people can actually put a face with a name and a voice. And it just makes them recognize more and more that they know the voices that are talking to them.
Amen. It's
just
kind
like
of,
we know the voice of the Savior.
Exactly. It's fun. It really is. We're in our second year on this radio station. Living the Good Life is in our second year, and we're excited about it. We love doing these shows, and we're glad for every single one of you that join us on a weekly basis. And we do hear reports from those that are listening consistently, and that's a good thing. So we bless everyone today. We speak a blessing over you as you listen in. And as we get into the Word of God today, we're going to start with prayer, Carol, and then we're going to talk for a second here. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be in the car or on the web with these dear people that are listening today. We thank you, God, that you are everywhere, that you have no limits on where you are, and your presence goes with us every place we go. We thank you, God, for the ability to study your word, talk about your word, and learn today of you. God, you're a mighty God, and we love you so much, and we just give the next 90 minutes to you and ask that you anoint our voices and you anoint the listeners, and that what you want done in this broadcast will be done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Yes. All right. Some mighty things have been going on up there in Georgia in the ministry that you all are in, isn't there?
Yeah, there's some wonderful things taking place. We had a member of the congregation who was given a report by the doctors that was not very favorable, a possible brain tumor. And this individual was very frightened, as we all would be when
Absolutely.
You receive notice of that.
Yes.
So she wanted to come forward last week for an anointing of oil, and
right.
It was my privilege and honor to be able to anoint
Amen.
Her.
Amen. We believe in that, don't we, Carol? We believe
Always.
That the Word of God Always. Says that we can and should
Yes.
anoint with oil in the name of Jesus and pray for healing for people in their physical bodies and their minds, their emotions. We believe that with all our hearts, and we've seen tremendous miracles through the years. But tell me what happened last Sunday.
Well, we did an anointing. I anointed her with oil, and I had asked if she wanted anyone to stand with her, and she has a son, so he stood with her. And I invited the congregation, those who would and who will, to step forward and just be with her and let
right.
her feel the presence of our church community.
Uh-huh.
And in doing so, they all reached out their hands and touched her or touched me. And the energy in that room, the Holy Spirit fell in that room in such
Amen.
Magnitude. It was uncanny.
Praise God.
And the news this morning, as the announcements were given, is that the doctors find no brain tumor.
Praise God. All
so if
right.
it were there, it has been removed.
Amen.
And she
oh,
doesn't have other
God.
Testing, but that threat of that tumor has been dismissed.
Amen, amen. God is a miracle-working God, and He's still doing these things today, isn't He, Carol?
Yes,
so
He does.
Many
and I read something days ago that I just want to share with the listening audience, because I think when you're having times that are difficult and you're walking through valleys of shadows,
right,
maybe no one around you realizes you are, but you know that you are. And when you've just reached the last end of your rope, it goes
right.
This way. When you reach the end of your rope,
right,
you have touched the hem of His robe.
Amen. Amen.
Is that not powerful?
Yes.
Does that not say to you, when you can't go any further and your rope no longer has a knot in the bottom,
right,
all you do is that at that point, maybe even as you're falling, you reach out and touch the hem
Amen.
Of the robe, and healing begins.
And it's that simple, and we make it so difficult. And it's all about the truth of the Word of God, Carol, and we're going to talk about that today. Truth versus phoniness, versus lies, versus
anger,
hypocrisy, all of that. Yeah, we're going to really talk about that today. And I really believe this show is going to be a real blessing to a lot of people out there listening today, because the Word of God is powerful, and we know that, and we say it, and we believe it, that the Word of God, it says in Hebrews 4:12, is living. And it's active, and it is able to get down on the inside of us and change us. It's able to heal our bodies. It's the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, that sets us free from all the junk that the devil and life and circumstances would try to put on us. Praise God, the truth of God's Word.
Well, humanity tries to lay all of its garbage on top of us, and sometimes it does a very good job at doing that. And after a while, the human spirit can only take so much of that
right.
until it seeks a different course.
Right.
And we all know that the light of our life and the one that leads us to a stronger salvation and eternal home is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
He's going and interceding with us and the Holy Spirit, because we're in the season of Pentecost.
Yes.
And when Jesus left us, He said, I'm going away.
Yes.
But I'm leaving you with something. And the Holy Spirit descended and intercedes for us.
Amen.
And is with us constantly.
Yes.
As is Jesus. All we have to do is cry out His name.
Amen.
And He's right there. I've always told people, when you sit down, be careful where you sit, because you'll either be touching His shoulder or sitting in His lap.
He's everywhere, isn't He?
Everywhere.
Praise God. God is answering prayer, and we're so excited about that. And we're so excited that regardless of the difficulties that a lot of us are going through in different areas of our lives, God is there to help us and to see us through it. Just briefly, and I don't want to go into any detail because we've talked about it before, but a few weeks ago when the person drove through the front of our church building, and we've had all kinds of changes and a lot of stuff happening because of all of that, God has seen us through all of it, and we're excited, and we know that God's got a plan and a purpose and a renewed vision for Beacon of Hope. And we welcome people to come this Wednesday night. We are meeting at the Howard Johnson's Resort at the corner of 580 and US 19, just before you get into Dunedin. It's really actually the Clearwater address, but it is the Howard Johnson Resort right on US 19, right beside the intersection of 580. We start at 6 with prayer and praise, and 7 with Bible study. So we welcome people this Wednesday night, and we're going to have a Sunday morning service this week, which I'll talk to you about later. So we're excited about what God's doing. Carol, don't go far.
I shall not. I'll wait for you.
We've got a great song here, I Am the Way. And we're going to be in John 14 for a little while if you want to grab your Bibles. John 14, I Am the Way. Listen to Mark Schultz sing this song. It's going to bless you.
Got a secret no one knows, locked away where no one goes, deep inside your heart, tearing you apart. Hide the pain in all you do, still the shackles binding you, a heavy oven stone, but you are not alone. When you now look around and you'll see I am with you, look to me and you'll see I will be there to guide you. Take my hand. Asking me into your heart. to set you free. When you're down, look around and you see I am with you. Look to me and you see I will be there to guide you. Take my hand and I can lead you on, for you know I'm the answer. I am the way. I am the problem. I have all your names. Surrounded by darkness, you stumbled along, knowing the road that you traveled was long. And I'm here beside you, yes, here all alone, the one that will carry you on. When you're down, look around and you see I am with you. Look to me and you see I will be there to guide you. Take my hand and I can lead you on, for you know I am the answer. I am the way. I am the promise.
Praise God. When you're down, look around and you can see that I am with you. And that's God's words to us today. And that's a wonderful song. You're listening to Living the Good Life, coming to you every Sunday live. We are in the studio right now, live as you are listening to us here in Clearwater, Florida. And we're excited to be able to bring God's word to you today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and my special guest, Carol Witcher, will be back in a little while. And if you have your Bible, go to John chapter 14. And this is one of those wonderful chapters. And we have been studying the book of John, and now we're studying the book of Galatians at Beacon of Hope. And we are finding so many wonderful truths about God through the book of John, where Jesus continually says, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. And here in John 14, the disciples are realizing that Jesus is getting ready to go back to heaven, that he's not going to stay with them. They don't really understand the whole thing. They just know things are beginning to change. And they're afraid. And, you know, we're like that. When we see change happening, or we say that God's doing something different, our natural human instinct is to get afraid and to go, whoa, 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 don't change anything. God, I like it just the way it is, you know? That's our natural human instinct. And the disciples were feeling those definite same feelings. And in John 14, Jesus starts out and he says, trust me. You know, that's the goal. That's it. That's all of it in a nutshell, really. It's learning how to trust God. He says, trust me. He said, there's plenty of room for you in my Father's home, or in my Father's mansion. Some of you know that translation, and that where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And that is the goal. God wants us to be so in tune with him that one of these days you're going to live with him throughout all eternity. And because he has a place prepared for you right now on this earth, that because we're still here, he also has a place for us. And he has a job for us to do. He has something for you to do. And he goes on and says here, and the disciples, Thomas is questioning him, because Thomas is saying, we don't know where you're going. How do you expect us to know the road? How do you expect us to know how to get there? Now, one of the themes of Living the Good Life has been, through our full first year and as we start our second year, that God has a plan for your life, that he cares about the details of your life, that you're not just another number to him or another person here on this planet, that he has a special job for you to do, something for you to do. And we find that Jesus is saying these same concepts to the disciples in John 14, verse 6, when he again reveals another part of his nature and about the nature of the Father. And he says, I am. And there are three things here in John 14, 6 that he says that he is. Now, remember, Jesus always reflects the Father. Jesus came to this earth to show us the Father. When you see Jesus, when you hear his statements, when you listen to his teaching, when you read the Word of God and figure out what Jesus was all about, you are also seeing the Father. How cool is that? And Jesus said, I am the way. In the Message Bible, it says, I'm the road. Okay? If you want to go to someplace, what do? You either get on an airplane or train or a boat, but most of us get on the road, don't we? Most of us get in our car or whatever, and we go down the road. The road takes you somewhere. Jesus said, I am the road. In some translations, it is, I am the way. Okay? And then he goes on and he says two more things that he is. Also the truth, also the life. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. How are you going to get to that place in God? Number one, where you feel strong, where you feel that God is moving in your life, where you're not beat up all the time by the enemy, you're going to have to go through Jesus. Jesus is the way. How are you going to get to heaven? You're going through Jesus, believing in him, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth and died on a cross for your sin, and that you accept him as your personal Savior and ask him to forgive you for anything and everything you've ever done. That's the way to heaven, is it not? Okay. And then this second aspect, learning the truth. And this is what we want to talk about today on Living the Good Life, is truth versus phoniness. Truth versus hypocrisy. Truth versus evil. Good versus evil. Because Jesus said he's the truth. Now, if you don't accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and his teachings here in the Bible are of God and are God speaking to us, then you got a problem. I don't know what you do with that, because you've got to start with the premise that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God sent him to this earth, and he did it for a purpose, to teach us all about the ways of God. He says here he's the truth, and he says that he is the life. And then let's look down in verse 11. Jesus is talking here, and he says, believe me. See, that's what it's all about, guys. You got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe that God has a plan for your life. You got to believe that God wants good to happen to you. You got to believe that God cares about the details you're going through. And Jesus says here in John chapter 14, verse 11, believe me, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see, which are the works. And then this next sentence, and I'm reading now the Message Bible, John 14, about verse 11. The person who trusts me, there's that word again, trust. If I had a board right now, which I love to teach from, but not here in the radio station, but if I had it, I would write the big in big letters the word trust. Because the whole essence of the gospel is learning to trust. Learning to trust God and learning to trust the truth. Have you ever been in a situation where you were surrounded by somebody or groups of people, and I'll talk to Carol about this in a minute, but where people didn't tell the truth and you never could tell, well, okay, is this a lie or is this truth or is this half truth or is this full of lies, you know? And that is so frustrating when you don't know who to trust, right? I don't know about you, but I've been around people like that. That are they just telling me what I want to hear? Or are they really full of the truth of God? Jesus said, the person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things. Now, I've heard this quoted for many years, that we are going to do greater things than what Jesus did. And absolutely, this is truth. This is John 14, verse 12, that the disciples are going to do greater things. What does that mean? I think it means in more number than Jesus did, because he was only here on this earth in ministry only 3 years. And so he healed so many people. He cast out so many demons. He set so many people free. But we are here for a much longer period of time than that. And he willingly went back to heaven and said, you guys are going to do this now. And greater things than I did are you going to do. But it says here, the person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. What has he been doing? He walked around all of that area over in the Middle East, and what did he do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out the demons. He gave hope to people who had no hope. He goes on to say, you're going to do this same work. And he says, you can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I'll do it. Now, I'm going to read that sentence again because this is profound when it comes to prayer and getting our answers to prayer and trusting God to answer and trusting, well, just trusting each other. And it goes down to this sentence again. You can count on it, Jesus said. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I am doing. This doesn't say anything you ask, no matter how crazy off the wall it is. Well, you want $1 million in your mailbox by tomorrow? Okay. No, it's not talking about that. This says whatever you ask along the lines of who I am, guys, we got to know who he is so we know how to pray. Along the lines of who I am and what I am doing. What is he doing? What was he doing? What does God's what will in our lives and situation? Is it his will to heal the sick folks around us? Absolutely. And thank God for that praise report from Georgia. God is doing healing today, and it is his will to do that. And he says, when you ask along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. Whoever requests, whatever you request in this way, I will do it. I'm going to ask Carol a question when she comes back. Does God answer evil prayers? And what is an evil prayer anyway? I think there's a clue right here in this teaching, because Jesus is saying, you can ask and I'll answer. But he's also said, puts a little condition on it. You can count on it, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I will do it. Profound. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 9 real quick. I'm going to slip over there for a minute and read the last few verses of Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 35. Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places. Wow. He reported kingdom news. We were doing that earlier, kingdom news. He healed their diseased bodies. Praise God. God is still doing that today. He healed their bruised and hurt lives. Now that is what it's all about, isn't it? It's not just about healing our bodies. It's also about healing our bruised and hurt lives. That's what it's about. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless, they were like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. We've been praying for harvest hands for, a year and a half at Beacon of Hope. People that would absolutely see the harvest and want to be a helping hand in that harvest and help bring the good news of the gospel to people everywhere. Jesus even said down in John chapter 10 and about verse 5, when he sent out his first 12 harvest hands, he sent out this charge. Don't begin by traveling to some far off place to convert unbelievers. Don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. How interesting. There are so many around us, dear friends, that are lost and confused and are bruised and are hurting. And God is sending us to those right around us. And he says, tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. That is what we are to do. What Carol did last week in laying hands on that lady and praying for her healing, we are commanded to do that very thing. He said, tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Praise God. Raise the dead. You know, there's a lot of people that are dead emotionally, and we are commanded to raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Are there any of those around us? I believe there are. Kick out the demons. Yes, we do that. We believe that we have authority over demonic spirits. You have been treated generously, so live generously. And then he goes on in the next sentence, you are the equipment and all you need to keep that going is 3 meals a day, travel light. You're the equipment. You're the one that needs to be out there. And you need to be out there with the truth of the gospel, which is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about phoniness and evil versus the truth and what we're supposed to be doing and how that truth needs to get down on the inside of us. Listen to Station Identification, and we will be right back.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network, broadcast home of I'm Us in the Morning on AM 1340 WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, and AM 1350 WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. We are actually going to start using some commercials from some companies and businesses around. We've had Beacon of Hope commercials for over a year, and we want to expand that. And we already have a person who'd like to advertise, and there's some others that I need to get back with this week. So if you would like to be an advertiser on our show, Living the Good Life, all you need to do is email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and we will give you a call, give me a phone number where I can reach you, and also just tell me, you know, that you're interested in being a sponsor, and then we'll tell you all the details and get back to you on that. So that's a cool thing. So we're expanding, and hopefully next week we'll have a couple commercials here. So Carol, are you back with us?
I'm back with you.
Yes, we're glad you are with us today. You've had a busy week, haven't you?
I've had an interesting week, busy week. Yeah.
And some of you know that Carol's got a situation going with a little bit of breast cancer in one place. And praise God, there were so many other things that could have happened to you, and they haven't. And God is taking care of this issue. And we praise God that you're getting healthier and stronger each day, Carol.
Well, I accept that praise. I know that I'm supposed to, according to other folk and doctors and people who have been in my situation and people who I see each Tuesday and Wednesday at Emory in Atlanta that are in the same situation and some much more dire than mine. When people look at me, and today at church people were saying, gosh, you look great, you know, and that's how you feel. I just feel absolutely as if I've been cleansed of something that was just a nuisance.
Right.
My spirit is good. My faith is strong. My belief in healing is absolutely overflowing, because I know that I know that I know,
praise
down
God,
deep in my knower, that the creator of my body knows how to care for me, and all I have to do is to lay back and put my trust in him and know that every test I go through is just a testimony to share with other people.
It's that trust word, isn't it? You're not a victim, and it's that trust word. It's learning to trust God with our health, with our finances, with every aspect of our lives, our emotional lives. And Jesus is really saying this here, don't you think, Carol? He's talking about, yeah, I'm going to answer your prayers. You got to trust me for me to, and this is, I'm paraphrasing what Jesus is saying here.
Yeah.
But he's saying, you got to trust me that I can hear your prayer, answer your prayer. And he says here, when you do this, when you pray along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, did that stick out to you, or is that just me that hit?
It sticks out to me greatly. And in Philippians 4,
okay,
verses 4.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And it says, rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen.
I will say it again. Rejoice.
Yes.
Let your gentleness be evident to all.
Amen.
And the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. And I would also like to add my little blurb to that, your physical, emotional, and spiritual being as well.
Amen.
You know, there's nothing that I personally can do to make my physical body heal itself internally. I can take the medications the doctors might offer, and I can do the tests and the treatments. But if I don't honestly believe in my heart of hearts that the Lord God comes to me through the Holy Spirit and through His Son,
right,
and heals me,
right,
then everything I would put in my throat is just an empty pill.
So it goes back to trust, doesn't it?
It always goes back to trust.
Jesus
where
is saying here.
Where are you with God? Where are you with Jesus?
Right.
If you don't know where you are today, folks, please find out where you are. Take the moments to sit down. Give yourself the opportunity to find out who you are. You are uniquely and divinely made.
Exactly.
Each and every single person out there, none of you, even identical twins, are exactly alike.
Oh, amen.
And God knows each one of us.
Exactly.
He knew us in our mother's womb.
Amen. Amen. You know, Carol, for years growing up as a pastor's kid in church and hearing people testify, in the many times I heard people, well-meaning people, stand up and say, oh, God's put this awful disease on me and I am so sick, but I'm learning from it. Bless God, I'm going to be better, you know, and all that. And I think as a child, I bought into it until later on in when we moved to Central America, my parents were missionaries, and I began to see God really heal bodies. But I think earlier, as a younger child, I really thought, oh, okay. You know, that's just what you're taught. You know, in a lot of churches, people say, oh, God put this on me. Sickness is evil. Do you agree with me, Carol?
I don't think it comes from God at all.
It does not come from God at all.
I think the healing
exactly
comes through and because of God, because
yes,
in a healing,
absolutely,
just as it was last Sunday, and as it is going to be with me, as it is with me now, and as it is with many other people out there who have gone through horrible, horrible, horrible physical
right
experiences, the healing that comes through Jesus Christ is totally to exonerate the Father.
Oh, absolutely. Lift
and
him
to
up.
To hold him high and to let people know that he is the master of the universe.
Exactly.
We are because he is.
Absolutely. You know, and that where this gets difficult for a lot of people is because I think so many people are, their emotions are based on punishment, you know, that
yes,
God is going to punish them. Maybe they grew up in a church where that was the big deal. I mean, punishment for sin. And God is a God of grace and mercy and love. And he does not, listen to me, dear friend out there, God does not put sickness on you. That comes from the environment you live in. That comes from heredity. It comes from maybe you not taking care of your body and smoking 3 packs a day for 20 years. It comes from all kinds of other sources. Ultimately, those sources all go back to the devil, and that's where it comes from. God does not have sickness. He doesn't have a whole box of cancer up in heaven, Carol, when he says, oh, let me see what I can do for Carol today. I'm going to just pour a little cancer on her.
Yeah.
That is not the way God works,
no,
and that is evil.
Many people view an illness as punishment, as you're saying.
Yes.
I don't view it as that. I have not yet once
right
said, oh, woe is me. Why is it me? Why is it me? My thing has been, why isn't it me?
Well,
I'm strong in Christ that I know
you can,
my Redeemer lives.
Amen.
The healer. And if I can be healed
right
of this dreaded thing that women have, and men,
right,
many men have breast cancer, and if for many women and their spouses, it's a death sentence.
Right.
The first thing they hear out of the physician's mouth is you have breast cancer. They don't hear anything else. They immediately shut down.
Right.
They are not stepping into that spiritual realm and saying, okay, I've got breast cancer. Now, God, what are you
That's
and
right
I going to do about this?
Absolutely.
And so when I was diagnosed with it in March, and I thought to myself, well, why not me?
Right.
Why not me? I'm the one that makes logical sense. If I were able to put this burden on somebody else, all of my friends, I wouldn't give it to any of my friends.
Right.
I would rather take it myself because I know that I'm strong. I know that I'm spiritually strong. I know
right
that I'm physically strong. I know that I'm emotionally strong. And I know he will walk me through every single thing. And when you look at Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble,
right,
whatever
Amen
is right, whatever is pure,
yes,
whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Aren't those beautiful words?
Yes.
If anything,
think on those things.
Praiseworthy. Think about such things.
Think on those.
Carol, whatever you have learned
that's or right
you've heard from me or seen me put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Amen. And that's how we have to look at it. In John chapter 9, Carol, is the story of the blind man, and the disciples went to Jesus and they said, who sinned here, him,
yes,
this guy, or his
yes
parents, you know, that he's born
yes
blind?
Yes.
And Jesus said, you've missed the boat here, guys. It's not about who sinned. It's how can God get glory from this situation?
That's right.
And Carol, that's what we're talking about. Satan tries to put an evil spin on bad things. There's a book out, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, because bad things do happen to all of us, you know, and it is not a critique of somebody's spiritual journey or their maturity in God if they go through difficult times. But the devil comes and says, oh, you're going through this because God's mad at you, or you're going through this because you did that. And because you did that, okay, here's what's going to happen to you. And this is evil. And this is one thing I want to really attack today on this show, Carol. This good versus evil, truth versus the lie of the enemy. Because I think this is huge in all of our minds, okay? Huge. And so often we take it as punishment and evil when God is going to get glory out of some situation that you are going through, listener, dear listener out there. This is not just for us, Carol. This is other people listening to this right now. They need to hear that God's going to get glory from the situation they're in right this moment. Take courage, take hope.
Well, I'd like to think that there's a parent right now. Maybe it's in all children's in St. Petersburg. Maybe it's up here in Atlanta at Eggleston. Maybe it's at St. Jude's. Wherever it might be, someplace, and listeners, there are parents hanging over a child's bed.
Yes.
and trying to be strong enough to know that God is watching over
Amen.
That child through the Son, Jesus, and
yes.
the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And to know that that parent could have the confidence that that child can be renewed again.
Amen.
And recover.
Amen. In Jesus'
yeah,
name.
People will never win out over good. Never.
We totally agree.
Never going to beat God in anything that he does.
God's got a plan. He's got a purpose, Carol. And for those listeners today that are discouraged and defeated and feel like everything is caving in on you, believe me, I've been there, haven't I, Carol?
Oh, yes. Yes,
for the last year and a half. In fact, I heard a rumor about me this week, Carol.
Did you really?
I heard a rumor. Through the rumor mill, you know, the grapevine
uh-huh.
thing.
I've
and it said
mill.
The reason she's gone through so much is because of, and I don't even know what was the end of that sentence, but the whole concept that this person told me was being said was that God was punishing me and getting even with me for something. Of course, they didn't know what the rest of that sentence was, but the whole concept of punishment and you're going through hard times is so ridiculous. It just really is. Let me read, Carol, real quick, and then I want you to comment on this.
Okay.
In John 16, in the first four verses, it says this. Jesus says, I've told you these things to prepare you for rough times ahead. Well, that doesn't sound like Jesus is trying to teach us how to get out of them. He's saying they're going to happen, right? They are going to throw you out of the meeting places. There will even come a time when anyone who kills you will think he's doing God a favor.
Yeah.
They will do these things because they never really understood the Father. I've told you these things so that when the time comes and they start in on you, you'll be well warned and ready for them. These are the words of Jesus. These are not my words. This is John chapter 16, 1-4. And somebody in our listening audience today needs to know you are not being punished. This is part of life. There are rough times. There are hard times. But separate the good from the evil and don't accept the evil in your life. Whoa.
Well,
do you have a comment on that, Carol?
I do. I am a firm believer in the work of Max Lucado.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
And in one of his in his Bible, he has a little thing, and it's called vengeance, and it says vengeance belongs to God.
Right.
Well, I find that jealousy and vengeance and hatred and evil words.
Amen.
As we know in the book of James, that they're spoken that the tongue is an instrument of fire.
Yes.
A tongue can make you healthy or a tongue can cut you down.
Right.
And when people are out speaking words of blasphemy and hatred and evil thoughts against
right.
any person, whether
right.
it be you or Beacon of Hope Ministry, and Lord knows Beacon of Hope Ministry has been assailed a lot this year
yeah.
by naysayers and people who wish it harm and
right.
who wish it evil.
Right.
But I have news for those people. And it comes strictly from the word of God in
Amen.
That revenge belongs to him.
Amen.
He is the one who decides who will prosper and who
exactly.
will not prosper.
Amen.
He is the one who says, touch not one hair of my anointed and do my prophets no harm.
Amen.
And that's not a joke.
No, it's
and
not.
Whether the prophet is in India prophesizing and working with a small cluster of people there, whether they're in Haiti working with a small group of people there, wherever
right.
servants of God are preaching his word and teaching his word, and they are assailed by people who were former members or people who came or people who know nothing
right,
must remember one thing. Vengeance belongs to God.
Amen.
Revenge belongs to God, totally to him. And when you touch the hair of his anointed and his appointed, you better jump back and find a dark black blanket to hide under.
Wow. Preach it, Carol.
Because he is not going to allow his world.
And it's evil. That's evil. That
it is
kind
evil.
Of thing.
And he's not going to allow his world to be darkened by evil presence of Satan and his people running around trying to put out all the candles. When I was in college in Ocala, Florida, in a wonderful little community college called Central Florida Community College, we had a motto, and it was in stone in our entryway, and it said, "'Tis better to light one candle than to curse the darkness."
Okay.
Somewhere in this listening community, candles are being lit.
Yes.
Because there's a Bible study going on in someone's home.
Amen.
People are sitting on a park bench discussing the Word of God.
Amen.
In such a way that their life is becoming enlightened.
Yes. Praise
God. Wherever that light of Christ blooms and wherever it grows and blossoms, you're going to find people who run around with a candle snuffer.
Yeah.
And they will do it under the guise of, I'm going to tell you a story about this prophet, or I'm going to tell you a story about that preacher.
And God just laughs. He just laughs about it because he knows it's not going to work.
And he says, revenge is a rap.
Amen. Amen.
We strike back, we're saying, I know vengeance is yours, God, but I just didn't think you'd give them exactly where they should be sat.
We have to trust God in this.
That's right.
Carol, we're going to go to a song. It's called I Am, and it's an incredible song. And then I'm going to come back and teach in a few minutes and bring you back in a little while.
All right.
So don't go far. This is some heavy-duty stuff. We're talking about good versus evil. Be right back. Listen to this song. God, I am. That's who he is. That's who we're talking today about. Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And that's what Jesus says. You are listening to Living the Good Life here, brought to you every Sunday live on this radio station from Beacon of Hope Ministries. You can actually, if you're listening to us on the web, see us live right there on your screen, which is kind of cool. So anyway, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister. We're glad you've joined us. We have Bible study this Wednesday night in our temporary location at the Howard Johnson's Resort at 580 and US 19 in Clearwater, right at the edge of Dunedin. It is actually on the west side of the street, right beside the Kia dealership. We have prayer meeting at 6 with prayer and praise, Bible study at 7. We get you out of there about 8:30. We have a wonderful time, and we hope you join us. Next Sunday morning, we're actually going to be meeting in a special location. If you would like to join us, we'd like for you to email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com or call the church phone at 813-417-3377, and we will give you that exact location. We're actually having a lunch, dinner, Mother's Day. It'll be a nice service, a great service, and a wonderful fellowship time, and we'd love for you to join us. One of our special friends that used to be an active part of our church lives in Texas, will actually be with us next Sunday, and we're excited about that. God's doing some great things, and in your Bible, if you have it with you, Galatians chapter 5, we see God moving through the voice of Paul through the book of Galatians. And if you don't have a specific thing you're reading right now, we encourage you to read the book of Galatians. It's only 6 chapters with us this month because we're not quite finished with it. So we're going to take it on through May. And God is doing some mighty things here as we study the book of Galatians. But go with me to Galatians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 1. And it says, Christ has set us free to live a free life. That's what he wants for us. God does not want you all bound up in all kinds of indecision, all kinds of questions about whether God is punishing you or whether God is mean to you or what. God says to us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Do you know that it is slavery when you are bowed down to the ways that the devil tries to discourage you, defeat you, maybe with illness, maybe with mental hassles, maybe with depression, discouragement, maybe with your job situation, whatever the case may be, that is slavery. You're in bondage to those things. And Jesus came to set us free. And remember, as we've been talking today on this broadcast, that the goodness of God sets us free. The evil of the devil and people who want harm to come to us in whatever way really binds us up. And we have got to learn to walk a free from all of that junk, free from when the devil comes and says, you know, you're really going down for the count now. This is it. This is the last thing. And I'm going to give you this sucker punch and you're out of here. You just simply got to learn to take your stand. I'm having to do it personally. We each have to learn to do it for ourselves. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Christ has, it's already done, it's past tense, set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. You take your stand. You do it. Nobody can do it for you. As much as I would love to do it for my own children and my own grandchildren and my own parishioners at Beacon of Hope, I can't do it for you. You have to learn to take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. And then let's go over to verse 13 of Galatians 5. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. That's what God has called you to. A free life. That's what you're called to. You are called to walk free from the junk that the devil puts on you. You are called to be free from the evil that would try to attach itself to you in whatever form, in the form of gossip, in the form of disease, in the form of lack and failure. All of these things are the evil of the devil and of the environment we live in. And God has called you to a free life. Can you say that with me? God has called me to a free life. Just make sure you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. We have been talking about that the last few weeks at Beacon of Hope, that this whole walk of freedom is lived out through serving one another in love. That's what it's all about. It's not easy sometimes. Sometimes people are so grouchy and mean and nasty, and you don't feel like serving them in love. But this is what we are called to do. Use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. Whoa, I love that. That's how freedom grows. How does freedom grow? You get more free as you learn to serve other people in love. Last week, we talked about the story of the Good Samaritan and how the priest and the Levite, they could have gone over and helped the man that had been all beaten up and bruised, but instead, they just walked on by. And the Samaritan, who was really an outcast himself and really shouldn't even have been ministering to a Jew, he's the one that went over and helped with the wounds and took him to the hotel and put him up and took care of him and fed him. And this is what we're called to do. Freedom calls us to serve one another in love. The reason a lot of Christians are bound up is because of nasty stuff in their emotions, unforgiveness and bitterness and meanness and envy and jealousy. This stuff ought not to be. And because we are called to a life of freedom and we get so hung up on all of this, well, so-and-so did this to me and I'm just never going to forgive them. And over there, that one, you wouldn't believe what that one said about me. On and on and on. And God is calling us to a life of freedom to let go of those things, to let go of them and simply learn how to lay it to rest and let God deal with it. Trust is the word here again. Trusting God to deal with our enemies and our persecutors and taking a stand and saying, you're not going to rob me of my peace of mind. You're not going to rob me of my joy. Sickness, you're not going to take my health. You're not going to do it. Disease, you're not going to do it. Emotional distress, you're not going to rob me of a good night's sleep. I refuse to let you do it. You take your stand and you vote for freedom. That's what you vote for. Use your freedom to serve one another. I'm in Galatians 5, about verse 13 or 14. To serve one another, that's how freedom grows. The more you serve in love, freedom grows. And listen to the rest of this verse. Everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. When Carol comes back, I want to talk about this true freedom because love is the answer. It's the goodness versus the evil. And if we're going to come out of the bondage of junk from our past and the stuff that's going on a daily basis that comes at us, we have to learn to love others as we love ourselves. And Paul says here, that's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you will be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? Paul goes on to say, live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. Whoa. And that is evil. Selfishness. Wow. Listen to this song, In the Light. This song is talking about walking in the light of God's word. It's talking about Jesus as the light of the world, his word as the light for your path. And that is the message of living the good life that we bring to you week after week. It is God's word is your answer, dear one. Whatever it is you're going through, if you'll get in the word and study it and let God speak to you and let the good begin to overpower the bad. His light. In John 1:5, it says that the light, Jesus said, I am the light, and the light could not be overcome by the darkness. That's John 1:5. The darkness cannot overpower the light. So get in agreement right now with me, because we're going to pray with you in just a little while. Get in agreement with me right now that you are going to walk in the goodness of God's word and in the goodness in your heart instead of harboring the evil. And we'll be right back. Listen to this song, In the Light.
Selfish thing I do.
Praise God. That is our desire, to walk in the light of God's word. And we're excited about that. We're taking the ministry of Beacon of Hope on the road. And we have been to Pensacola a couple weeks ago and ministered up there. What a blessing. What a great time with those dear folks. And we are open to going on weekends. And if your church would be blessed to have us there, please let us know. And we'll just teach the word of God. We inspire you to get involved with your own local church and to really get into the word of God. That is what Beacon of Hope Ministries is all about, teaching people that the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. So you can go to bookings at beaconofhopeministries.com and inquire about me coming and ministering there and in your church, and we'd love to be there. Carol, are you on the line?
I'm on the line and listening.
All right. What do you think about this passage in Galatians? What does this do?
I think it frees us up to be who God wants us to be and to operate in his peace and his love and his mercy and grace.
Yes.
We cannot be slaves if we are children of God. We cannot be held down. Our tongues cannot just be lashed to the floor of our mouth. We have got to get out and tell people what he is about. And
amen.
About. But we can have to be very careful as well, as we don't want to fall into James, where our tongues become bitter enemies.
Yes.
And fire and are hateful and so forth to other people.
That's
I'm
the end
so
of James 3. Yeah.
Of the great Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King, who changed their worlds, changed
yes.
our world,
amen.
A better place, and who brought the words of God into a living existence for us. But they were nonviolent men. They didn't do it through hatred. They didn't
amen.
Do it through evil. They did it simply because they stood on the principles of God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And they showed love even when it was hatred shown to them. When they were spat upon, they kept walking. They didn't even take the time to wipe the spit off.
Exactly.
Because they knew it was an assailment to God. They were embodying the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And they were taking on what Christ took when he was on that mountaintop being crucified.
Exactly. And we got to focus on what Jesus did on the cross, and we've got to not focus on what the devil tries to send our way. And I mean, we're not living with our heads in the sand, though, Carol, you
no,
know,
we can't.
Because this stuff happens. There are listening audiences going through all kinds of rough times right now. And I can certainly relate in some aspects in my life and some difficulties that I've gone through in the last year, year and a half. But in through all this, I can say today, Carol, more than ever in my life, I trust God to bring me out of whatever situation it is and to bring good. It says in Romans 8:28 that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. That's the key. Those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God wants to bring good out of some of the stuff that a lot of people are going through out there in our listening audience.
I agree with you totally. And when people think that they're doing something to get back at an individual or a church or a ministry or an evangelist or a singer or whomever it might be,
right?
If they are assailing that individual, then they're the ones that are going to have the difficulty. Because if the individual being assailed is in Christ and Christ is indeed in them, every attack then becomes a poignant attack on the word and the life
that's exactly
of Jesus
right.
Christ.
Yes, and we are commanded to love others as we love ourselves.
And that may be the key, Pastor, because so many people don't love themselves.
That's it.
So rather than to look inwardly and say, how can I change? You know, if you're attacking someone, know that person. Get to
right.
that person. Sit down. Ask them to forgive you because you were ignorant and you didn't realize what a joyous occasion it could be to share a cup of coffee or a Diet Coke or maybe just whatever it might be, a glass of cool tea here in Georgia. Sweet tea is the national drink here.
Yeah.
And be able to sit and say to someone, I don't understand you, therefore I don't like you.
Right.
And I don't understand you, therefore I hate you.
And that's what happens a lot of times. These judgments are not based on facts. A lot of times they're based on hearsay or whatever.
And jealousy.
Jealousy. Oh, yes. Yes.
No, you can't serve two masters. We
right.
are told repeatedly in Scripture, you can't serve two masters. You either serve God for you serve Satan.
Amen.
Because ne'er the twain will dwell within you at
right.
the same time. And if you choose to serve Satan, you are probably, whoever those individuals are, you're probably a very good servant.
Right.
Because you choose not to open your Bibles, you choose not to read Scripture, and if and when you do, you make it so that you are victorious in your assailing of a ministry, a pastor, a congregation member, a servant of Christ in any way.
Right. You know, you just keep mentioning James 3, and I want to go there just a second, down okay. to about verse 17.
Yep.
It says, real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. And, you know, the last couple weeks on Living the Good Life, I've really been feeling that this is a message to the body of Christ. We have got to be getting along with others. And it goes on to say, it is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. What should we be giving to people that would assail us or would say bad things about us, maybe in our workplace or in our families or whatever? It says we are to be giving away mercy and blessings. And then the rest of this in the Message Bible says it's not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced.
That's right.
Okay? And it says you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. And that is goodness. Evil is jealousy and selfishness and backbiting and gossip. All that is evil, and that's not going to prosper in any way. But goodness is what prospers.
You know, in James 3:14, going down to 3:18, it says very simply, and it is such a message that you just have to take it to your heart when you read it, and it has to speak to each individual in their place, in their spirituality, or their lack thereof. And it says, if you're selfish and have bitter jealousy in your hearts, don't brag.
Right.
Your bragging is a lie that hides the truth.
Right.
That kind of wisdom, the bragging, boasting kind of wisdom, does not come from God, but the world. It is not spiritual. It is from the devil.
Amen.
Hello, folks out there that are doing that. Is that not a revelation to you? And if you don't get the revelation there, go to 16, where jealousy and selfishness are. There will be confusion and every kind of evil. Have I seen it? Have I walked with people in it? Indeed so.
And, you know, I think it's time to declare war on it, Carol.
It is time.
Because
you do that by verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from God
yes.
is, first of all, pure.
Pure.
Then peaceful.
Right.
Gentle and easy to please. Great spiritual leaders.
Yes.
Great spiritual leaders throughout our time have done this because it is first pure, because it's from God.
Amen.
It's then peaceful. There are no physically fighting spirits in them.
Right.
They allow God to fight their battles. They
right.
place their battle into God's hands. Say, look, I can't do this. It's bigger than me. It's consuming me.
Right.
It's consuming my time. If these people have an issue with whoever or whatever the spiritual being is, allow God to, you know, you say to him, take over.
Exactly.
You know how to deal with them. You know how to fight them. I'm asking you to take it. And then we become very gentle. Instead of a harsh word or a nasty look or
right.
more gestures than that, to show our disapproval, we simply must be gentle. Speak to them with honey, because we know we gather more bees with honey than we do with vinegar. So speak to them in the gentleness of the Spirit. And if
Amen.
You have a hard time confronting someone like that, the antagonists in the church are there, entrenched in every
yeah, they are.
Church.
And you got to just pray about
goal,
that. Yes.
Their sole goal to break up the church, the ministry, and
yep.
cause the good shepherds who serve that church, whether it be the little old lady playing the piano or the gentleman that's the deacon and he's been there 50 years. The antagonists come in, and they don't come in to bring glory to God. They come in to bring it to themselves.
Exactly.
We are to deal with them in a peaceful, gentle, and easy way.
But a bold
way. We're also
way.
To let them know we know who you are.
Right.
And
right.
you will not survive in this church, because while you're praying against this ministry, we're all praying that you move.
Oh, that brings me back to this point, Carol. Back in John 14, I said yeah. that I'm going to ask you about this. Do evil prayers get answered? And I really want to go back to John 14, where Jesus said, I'm going to answer your prayers, along the lines, I'm back in John 14, about verse 11, 12, 13, he says, you can count on it, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I'll do it.
Uh-huh.
I heard that verse taught many years ago that whatever you ask in Jesus' name, you're going to get it. Okay. And instead of putting any kind of conditions on that verse, I have heard that verse for years. In fact, there are times I've heard it preached that the word there, instead of ask in the original Greek, is demand.
Yeah.
Whatever you demand in my name, that I'm going to do it. That makes God out to be some, you know, like we can manipulate him by just demanding, you're going to do this, you know, like a 2-year-old would do,
yeah.
You know. My little dog, Zoe Grace, Carol, you know her very well. My little dachshund,
oh, yeah.
She's just crazy. She's a soccer player and she's got a red ball and she just absolutely loves to play all the time. And every time I walk in the door, she goes and gets her ball, drops it in front of me and barks twice. And that means play ball. And sometimes it's 3 times, play ball, mama.
Uh-huh.
And she insists. I mean, she can make my life miserable and any of my guests who walk in the door miserable because she constantly puts her ball in front of you, ready for you to kick it, and she barks those 2 times, you know, ready to
yep.
do it. And she's demanding, you know. And sometimes I say, Zoe, not now, and I pick up the ball and I hide it. Well, of course, she goes and finds it, of course, later. She'll stand at the, you know, on the floor and bark at where it's at, up on the counter or whatever, because she's that smart. I'm so proud
okay,
of my daughter.
Okay, look at this analogy very quickly.
Yeah. Yes.
Zoe Grace is standing there demanding.
Yes, she is.
And she's wanting to have her way.
Absolutely.
And is going to have her way given the opportunity.
Right.
And yet there's a time when you become the voice of reason, whatever it is, that you don't, number one, have time, number two, you're not interested, number three, you have guests, number four, you're studying, whatever
right.
it might be.
Right.
And you say to her, no, not
right.
at this time.
Right.
Do you not think that those people who are evil and asking and demanding that their prayers be answered.
Right.
That God doesn't say through the Son Jesus, not now.
Right.
I'm not ready to deal with you.
Right.
I will deal with you in a later moment.
Oh, I totally.
I'm going to show you
yes.
why I will not deal with you. I'm going to show you how ridiculous your demands of me are.
Right.
I will answer your prayers. If you are doing my work,
right,
my will.
And your motives are correct. God always looks at the attitude of our heart, Carol.
That's right.
He really does.
How do you think that people come to communion tables? And what is one of the things? Either the priest or the pastor or the deacon, whoever's serving communion that mm-hmm. day, who consecrated in his offering, will say, if you know
that's right.
anything between
Amen.
You and any person, don't come up here.
You need to go make it
make
right.
Make it right.
That's right.
And when you come up here, if that person is in that room that you feel that you have wronged and it's been laid on your heart to do something about it, when you take this communion, you go to that person.
Exactly.
And you say to them, I am wrong. Would you
exactly.
forgive me?
Exactly.
Well, that's what the devil one day, we all know, he's going to bow and he's going
to
tremble.
He's going to have to.
He's going to shake.
Yes.
And he's going to bow down and he's going to be very humbled and he's going to say, I
Yes,
wrong.
It's going to happen. And but back to this, Carol, it's on the same point here. I find this profound. People should not be afraid. I'm going to say this very boldly. Do not be afraid of bad people praying against you. Okay?
No.
Don't be afraid of that.
No.
Because God is not honoring that type of prayer because he says right here, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing. I'll do it.
That's
well,
right.
Jesus was never out hurting people, punishing people. Jesus never put sickness or disease on people. He never destroyed their finances. Nothing like that. Now, will God always get glory from it? Yes. For we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those
yes.
who love God. But don't be afraid of people praying against you. Don't even be afraid of that. Because God's not going to honor that type of prayer. He honors the type of prayer where it is falling along the lines of who God is and what he's doing. Who is he? He's all goodness. He's all love. He's mercy. He's grace. He is all of that. And who, what is he doing? He's healing bodies. He's healing minds and emotions. That's the kind of stuff he's doing.
Well, right now, there's a church 2 minutes from my home here in Walnut Grove, Georgia.
Okay.
And it is a mainline church. And there is a faction who are not even members of the denomination, yet they attend church there.
Okay.
On a regular basis. They are not even members of the denomination, will not go through any of the schooling of the denomination, and yet they are praying against the pastor that's leaving because Methodists change their churches, their pastors,
right,
every 2 to 3 years.
Right.
They're praying against the pastor that's leaving and against the pastor that's coming.
Wow.
Now, what do they think God is going to do? God will maintain his house.
Right.
He will keep it
He's
in.
He's not going to honor those prayers.
And
I'll tell you that right now.
All of those people that are praying against those people involved there
right.
in trying to make the church a better place, when people pray against a house of God or
right.
a ministry or a certain individuals that are anointed and appointed by
right.
God, whether it be a deacon or a pianist or whoever it might be,
right.
watch out. Because it's like a rebound of a basketball.
Exactly.
You may think that ball's going in the basket, and you're going to be the one with a 3-point goal, and you're going to win that game. Got
right.
news for you. That rebound basketball is up there for some reason, and it will come right back at you.
Absolutely.
Twice as hard and twice as high.
It's because what you sow, you reap. Okay.
That's right.
And Carol, you know, you
those
and I.
Fields of discontent, you're going to reap fields
right.
of discontent.
Right. When we plan these shows, we have the verses, what I plan on teaching, what I feel like God's saying, but we don't really plan our content
no.
and what we're going to talk about. We let the Holy Spirit lead. And this show has gone a direction I didn't really think about, but it really is exposing good and evil. And if our intentions are evil, God's not going to hear those prayers. If our intentions are to hurt somebody, that's not the kind of prayer that God listens to. God listens to the prayer of the soul that says, I want to love that person. I may not know how. I need to forgive them, God, and pray a blessing on them for what they're doing. And some of you out there listening to us today are going through this very thing. You have people that are in your life that have caused all kinds of havoc and evil. Don't walk in fear of them. Simply pray blessings from God upon them and give it to God. Trust him to handle it. Carol, I'll be right back for your final thoughts.
Okay.
For the Lord is good. Listen to this message in this song. For the Lord is good. He's not evil. Praise God, for the Lord is good. His faithfulness endures forever. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Carol, you're with me still, aren't you?
I am here.
I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the last three verses of the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, and it says this, and I love these words from Paul, and we can kind of wrap it up, and I want your final thoughts here. And that's about it, friends, Paul says. Be cheerful. Okay. Sometimes when things are going bad, it's hard to be cheerful, isn't it?
Well,
keep things
yeah.
in good repair. Keep things in good repair. How do we do that?
By prayer.
By prayer, by forgiveness.
And loving somebody.
Exactly. Keep your spirits up. And I think the word is huge about keeping our spirits up here. And that's what God has given us. Think in harmony. Be agreeable. Do all that, and the God of love and peace will be with you for sure. Greet one another with a holy embrace.
Yeah.
All the brothers and sisters here, say hello. The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. I love those verses.
Yep.
Wow. Keep things in good repair. How do we tell our listening audience what they have to do to keep things in good repair, Carol?
It's really very simple, and it boils down to three simple words. And those words are found in the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 17.
Okay.
This is his command. Love each other.
Love each other.
There's no room for hatred,
no,
or revenge, or vengeance, or envy, or jealousy, or disdain.
That stuff's all evil.
Simply follow.
Amen.
Three words. Love each other.
Amen. That's it. That is it. Why don't we do it?
Because we have to give up everything in our soul that is impure,
right,
and immoral and evil.
We have to live in forgiveness. We have to let go when people
That's
hurt
right.
us. And it's not easy.
We're not going to let go of that control because that makes me just a hair better than you.
Right.
And I know better than God how to deal with you.
Right. And that's where we got to let that go, because we can't. We cannot. That is evil, what we're talking about.
That's right.
And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we started the show with that today. And the truth is found in God's word. And these verses we just read about keeping your spirits up, thinking in harmony, being agreeable, loving one another the way you love yourself. Do all that, and the God of love and peace will be with you for sure. And it's do it. Do it. Just do it. Nike's commercial. I mean, that's it. That's it, Carol. Just do it.
You know, walk into the church.
Right.
Maybe it's not a church you left. Maybe it's a church close to you. Go in and say, I don't know what I'm doing,
right,
but I want to serve God, and I want to be here to renew my spirit and to find where I am. I'm coming in full of love and forgiveness.
Right.
And I simply want to be a part of a spiritual community, because I got news for you. One day when you're sitting in the seat where I'm sitting, and one day when you're sitting in the seat where my friend was underneath my hand with a brain tumor supposedly
right.
in her head,
right.
when you're a parent sitting at the bedside of a dying and sick child, if you don't know where you are when you're called on the phone until there's a tragic wreck, get
right.
there. If you don't know where you are, and if you don't know that you love God and God loves you and you have no animosity toward anybody, you're going to be finding him real
right.
fast.
Yes, absolutely.
And he may not know who you are.
And time's a-wasting, and it's time to start living this good life. You know, that's the name of this show, Carol.
Yeah.
Living the good life.
We can simply go back into Revelations, the last couple or three words, and he says, I'm coming.
Yes, and he is. Praise God.
He's coming soon.
Carol, I want to pray a prayer right now. For those of you in our listening audience that are going through all kinds of hassles with evil, maybe people are coming against you. Maybe there's disease in your body. Maybe you're going through divorce or rejection or whatever the case may be in a relationship that you're in. Whatever your life is bringing you right now that is not of God, we take authority right now in the name of Jesus over the evil that is trying to attach itself to you and your life. And we declare that the name of Jesus and the blood of the Lamb, we overcome by the word of our testimony. That's Revelation 12:10. We overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. which is Jesus. And we take authority right now in Jesus' name over the evil that is trying to attack you. And in Jesus' name, we declare that the goodness of God will reign in your life from this moment on.
Amen.
Email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. I want to hear your testimony of what God is doing in your life. Carol, one final thought, and we got to go to our last song.
One final thought is that it is us who have to change. We have to recognize that we have fallen short of the glory of Christ.
Amen.
And we have to desire to put all of our energies into something positive.
Amen.
Good. Go into a ministry somewhere this week and say to that ministry, I want to serve.
Amen.
I want to be a part of you, and I want to serve, and I want to be constructive, and I want to love and be loved in return.
Amen.
There's no greater feeling when you have a strong need in your life to know there's a faith community there for you.
Amen. And we welcome people Wednesday night, 6 o'clock.
That's right. And Wednesday night, if you can't get there, then please write Pastor Marcia a note. She has told you how to reach her by email. And let us hear your stories. Let us hear your songs of praise. And let us know that you are indeed listening to Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida.
Praise God. Thank you, Carol. You're always wonderful, my wonderful, wonderful friend and counselor. I love you. God bless you.
God bless.
Our listening audience today, thank you for joining us on Living the Good Life. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister coming to you live from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Tune in next week, 4:34. It's not far to Jesus. Listen to this song. See ya.
To his side, there's no